about a quote. Do you want me behind it or here? There? Here?
Yes.
Okay. I would like to start with the thank yous. And I want to thank you all for being here, obviously, and the Sangha for support, and Bodhipakshini and Sudhayini said it beautifully. But I also wanted to say thank you to my kula, of which some are here, my private preceptor Shrivati, my friend Ginny, and my parents. So that was almost an Oscar speech. But so when I met people in the 10 days I'm back, there is a sort of default behavior. It's something like, oh, you cut your hair. And I say, yeah. And, oh, you look so much younger. Yeah. Nobody said you lost weight. but I have. And then the question comes, how was it? And then I stop a little bit, because how was it is really difficult to sum up the experience of a 3 months retreat, of which you don't know what you are getting into, of which you have prepared for years, of which your friends have helped you with to prepare. And I said, yeah, it was great, but obviously the word great is very flat to describe. And to be honest, I haven't come up with a right word yet, but I think the word which for me is the most appropriate is, it was a deeply beautiful retreat. And beautiful, now I need to look at my new notes, beautiful in the sense of that you live an ethical Dharma life, and our lives were basically adjusted or put around, or our daily life was adjusted to our practice, to our Dharma life, and not the other way around. It's very often that we just try to fit in our practice somewhere, and it has to do, but on these 3 months, we could really turn it around. We could really make our practice the focus. Our practice was the priority, and everything else came second. And that was deeply beautiful, deeply meaningful, and deeply touching. I'm not sure whether I can reproduce that here. I will try, and I will fail, and I will try again, with the help of my spiritual friends. So I think you can now, you feel it's very difficult to talk about the experience. I find it very difficult. So I will just focus on a few points, but that is by no means everything. So the first thing I would like to talk about is ordination as a ritual. Oh, sorry. Ordination as a ritual. I'm somebody who tends to underestimate ritual. That is something, yeah, you do something as if, and ordination, yeah, it's a ritual, and that's it. But, as we know, those rituals, even the worldly ones, like getting married or having a child, those rituals are deeply meaningful. They are, somebody calls them rites of passage. They are markers in your life after which you won't turn back. Something happens in that moment and you can then go this way. And that is something fundamentally which happens in yourself. And Bodhi Pakshini touched on that shift when she heard her name. This shift probably happens for each of us at slightly different points, but I would assume it has happened for all of us on the retreat. And then also we had to, or in the ordination ritual, you vow. And when do you vow? I don't vow. I think the last time I vowed maybe at court 25 years ago, I was a witness or something. So vowing, committing publicly to adhere or to try to live by those principles is a strong experience. It's very, very, it's almost like an earthquake in yourself, at least it was that for me. Now I need to make a decision whether I tell you something. I do, we have a little bit of time. What happened in the run-up to the private ordination, I was meditating a lot, and I think that was the preparation. What happened before the ordination, the private ordination, was I had basically a succession of different experiences. And it's the only word I can say. I don't know how to call it otherwise. And one of it was, I'm basically grappling, or I was grappling for 2 years with the problem of the problem with the First Noble Truth. Now, I don't know whether all of you know that, but the First Noble Truth just states, and it's Buddha's First Noble Truth, there is suffering in the world. I was absolutely happy with the Second Noble Truth, which says we are basically, we are putting suffering on top of the first suffering of getting old, of getting ill, of finally dying, and with our negative mental states, we put another layer of suffering on that first suffering. So the second suffering was completely, I could see that daily. But the first noble truth, why are we getting sick? Why are we getting old? Why do we die? That was something I just couldn't accept. And I was really reflecting on that for nearly 2 years. And in the moment, it was 5 minutes before my private ordination. I was a little bit too early, I'm German. And so I was sitting and waiting. And then it came to me, I suddenly thought, of course, it's a law. Would I ever ask, why is the apple falling from the tree? It's gravity, it's a physical law. That is something I just have to accept. And then I thought, why am I thinking about we have to die? That is something I just have to accept. And that word came in both talks. It's about surrender, it's about letting yourself go into that truth of our life, truth of being human and having to die. And then I suddenly thought, yeah, that's it. That's it. I just have to accept it. It's a law. So that was deeply significant, and I think it's the whole thing of the ritual and yourself, your psyche, basically preparing for this moment of spiritual death, getting a new name. So my new name. Oh God, Satyapurna. I don't know about the other communities and so on, but in our community we had a lot of fun with inventing names for each other. So that is a really nice pastime. You just, I had a mock name for a few years. Here, my friend Fiona, she called me Pixie Mutti. So that is my name. The only thing I knew, I said, I don't want to be called Yoga Mutti. It's true. It's true. Yeah. Okay, I just asked her for permission. And I gave Suchayini, she was then Sue, the new order name Susususu. So that was really funny. But I also thought about what is it actually about a name? Why is that so important? Why is that a topic amongst us constantly? And I guess the name we've been given is something which is so interwoven in our sense of self. So we get our name at birth, at the latest, sometimes even before birth. We hear it maybe even in our womb. It's connected with us. It's part of our identity. And then suddenly to have to let go of that also means to let go of your identity. And so I think that is one of the reasons why we were talking so much about names. We were actually talking about our sense of identification. Now I'm going to read you, and I hope it's not too long, a passage out of what Shivati said about my name at the public ordination. And you will understand later why I'm reading this passage, because it's a bit, yeah. Okay, Satyapurna. The order name reflects the mystery at the core of her being, and I hope it will provide her with much to reflect on for many years, or at least until enlightenment. Satya can mean truthfulness, which Satyapurna has a great capacity for, but here it means truth as reality. Purna translates as filled with or full of. It means that her name is profound. Who and what she can be is profound, and what on one level she already is. Through practice, she can cultivate this truth. By investigating and reflecting, she can discover it already within. There she will find great freedom and joy. Satyapurna, she who is filled with truth. And guess what? I didn't like my name. The reason, I think, was I knew at least four other Satyas. So people who had the first part in the name is Satya. So that meant I'm not special. Before I left, I had a sort of difficult communication with one of a Satya. So that meant I can be difficult too. And the last bit, the Purna bit, which according to the little document we get has a little trill, I can't pronounce it properly. So after my private ordination, I got in a real state. I thought, oh my God, I can't pronounce my name properly. I'm so not special. My parents won't be able to pronounce it. It's going to be a disaster. And then, I don't know what made this shift, maybe a day or two, I realized that basically I was given a real gift, a real beautiful name. And all I was preoccupied with was the packaging. And I hadn't realized that I had been given a diamond. And that is one of the teachings we were talking about, the name as teaching. So I will need to look at that. I will need to let the packaging away and learn to go through the essentials, to the core, to the meaning. I love my name now. My ego has stopped kicking, has stopped screaming, And I can see now its beauty. So thank you, Shivati. Not the end yet, sorry. One more point, sorry. I would like to read you a diary entry after my first night at Akashavana. Bad first night. Nightmares and insects. It is dawning on me that there is nothing to distract me. I feel a little bit like standing on a 10-meter high diving board. When you are up there, it feels terribly high, and you wonder why you have taken all the effort to get up there. You don't actually want to jump. And then, this moment before you jump, this second of surrender, emptying yourself, and only then you can jump. That's what I did today, and since then I am like a fish in water. And it felt almost throughout the retreat a little bit like that. I always had just to recreate this moment of surrender and let myself be what Bodhipakshini said, be with the experience. I work at the North London Buddhist Center, and in the beginning of the year, somebody at the team told me that a man came into the center to the reception and said, "Hello, I'm here because I'm looking for transformation." And we were obviously smiling about it, but actually he was dead right. He was in the right place. Buddhism, Dharma, is an absolute tool and help to transform ourselves. And where better to do that on than on a 3-month retreat, where all the conditions are in place to help you to move further from that line. And I could clearly feel that the environment had a positive impact on my practice and on working, also to sharpen my sense for what we say to the transcendental, to get in touch with something which is bigger than ourselves, some meaning which we can surrender to. And I want to finish with a quote from Bhante Sangharakshita, which I found it on the retreat and I was deeply affected by. It's from Transforming Self and World, and it says, "The word transformation suggests something radical, some fundamental change of form. But as a model for the spiritual life, it means something much deeper and more thoroughgoing. It signifies a change of consciousness, a total shift in our being, a revolution that affects us from the depths of to the heights of our individuality. It describes a transition from what is worldly to what is transcendental. It also means a death and rebirth. And by accepting the ordination vows, I have committed to transform myself, and through transforming myself, transforming the world." And on the retreat, I got in touch with the magnitude and the beauty of this endeavor. Thank you.